right, we will go ahead and start with our race-winning press conference here for today's AgPro 300 at Talladega for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. We've now been joined by Jesse Love, who drives the number 2 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet. This is Jesse's first victory in his 9th Xfinity Series start. Jesse, congratulations on that win. Tell us a little bit about those final laps from your vantage point in the race car.
Yeah, I think a little bit of flashbacks from Atlanta, in a good spot to win and running low on fuel. And I was running such a high gear, running fourth gear and trying to save fuel, that my fuel pressure was really low, and I thought that we were running out a few times. But whenever I would get it in third and load the box full, I would see it come back up. So I thought I was just right there, but I had enough to do a burnout and everything. So, just good thing we got it full. We obviously lost a good bit of track position. When we did have that two-tire stop and make sure that we were packed pretty full. And then just a matter of getting to the front and kind of had my teammates go with me and then leave me a few times. And then I was like in 15th, it felt like, for a while. And I actually started just working with Cole and Riley pretty well and kind of got some of that track position back. And then obviously in a good spot there at the end where I was in a very superior car to the people around me. And that was a blessing and a curse, because it was also really easy to get too far out front, and then I got too far out front, and then I think it was the 42 guy alongside me coming to the checkered, and I just tried to not get to the side draft too early to where he was going to be able to get it back before we got to the start finish line, which was took a lot of patience, because it was really easy to get up there and do it right away. But me and Josh Wise have been talking a lot about, you know, timing that better. I thought that it was right there on the edge, and I was able to do it in a timely manner and pull him back. And obviously, was once I heard my spotter's octaves go up a few levels, I thought we were pretty good.
All right, we're going to go ahead and go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We will get started with Jordan here in the middle.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Late race restart, running low on fuel. You've been in this situation before. Were you having a sense of dread? Were you thinking, like, here we go again?
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, try to put my faith in God and not really care about the outcome too much, and kind of found a little bit of peace of mind with that. But still did all I could, packing the box. You know, I feel like I was doing it harder than anybody else and saving really hard and running the flat and just doing everything I could. And I think it was a little bit of blessing and a curse there earlier in the race, having lost that track position, because I was able to run probably half of that last run, you know, three-quarter throttle, because I was so far back. And then when it was time, we were able to, you know, start leading lanes, and I couldn't quite break the double zeros bubble, so I was still wide open behind him, and that was obviously a train that was able to go forward pretty well. And I just kind of bailed behind people because I didn't feel like I was a great pusher, because I couldn't seem to break the bubble phenomenally. And then I was just trying to shut people out and lead the lane. I thought that if I could just lead the lane, that I'd be most beneficial to compared to everybody else with how fast my car was. So that was kind of my game plan there at the end. But I still figured like I had enough fuel to be aggressive, but it was definitely pretty stressful.
Your first win comes in your 9th career start. Is this what you expected? Did you think it's going to take longer, shorter?
I would say we started the season off quite a bit better than I thought I was going to. I thought the speedways were going to be my worst aspect, just with the lack of experience and all the factors that go into it. Obviously, our RCR cars are really fast with ECR engines, and me and Austin Hill work really well together. And those first two stages, I feel like we were, you know, pretty dominant together. Whenever he'd go, I would just follow him until the last few laps. But you know, I felt like we've had a shot to win a few. I feel like I wish I could have Phoenix back. I thought I could have done something there. And other than that, we've just kind of been logging these top tens the last, you know, 6 starts in a row now. And I thought that if we just keep running up front, eventually we're going to have a night where we kind of have that knockout speed, which is obviously every speedway for RCR. But I feel like Dover's another place with a good pit stall selection and a little bit of momentum on our side where we can have a good shot to win. It's one of my better racetracks. So just kind of needed to win the first one, I feel like. And now I feel like we just have to keep the momentum on our side and keep, you know, not going for broke every week. But now that I'm in the playoffs, I can kind of push the envelope a little bit more and not really care as much, because I'm locking the playoffs.
Okay, we're going to come up from to Bob and then stay up front for John. ball right behind you.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Did you use anything that you learned from Atlanta as far as saving fuel today?
You know, you gave me hell earlier in the week about saving fuel, and I appreciate that. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking about an overtime finish the second that we left pit road, and I saved the entire time. I was saving, and I wasn't dragging brake. I was saving with the gas pedal, and the entire time trying to just do everything I could to not burn fuel. And I feel like I learned how to load the box a lot better than I was in Atlanta. And Atlanta, like, you think you're good. And I told myself I was going to hopefully try to save enough fuel to have, like, multiple overtime finishes. So when the second one came, I was still fine. When they waved off the second one, I thought we were in trouble because I was starting to get low fuel pressure. But, yeah, I thought that it was a big learning lesson that I probably needed to lose Talladega to win – or lose Atlanta to win Talladega in a sense.
And I wanted to say, I'm not sure if I heard it right, but I think they pretty much told you don't lift on those last couple of laps.
I think you're wrong. I was lifting a good bit. Basically, and I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but my car was a lot better than the people that were around me at the end. I think the next closest powerhouse car was, I think the 18 or the 00 or something, 98. I think it was a 98. Because of that, yes, it's great because my car is better, but it's also very easy to get far out in front. And I kind of did that where I was like two car lengths out, which is way too far here at Talladega, but I was like half throttle. And they came to me, and then I just jumped back in the gas and tried to not over back up to them, like over slow it. And then I was just fast enough to where when the 42, I think, got beside me that I could just have enough side draft ability to kind of get to him late enough in the tri-oval to pull off of him and him not get down to me. But, yeah, I mean, the last half of the lap I didn't lift, but before that I was backing up hard.
All right, we're going to go to John, and then we'll come back up front. Go ahead, John.
John Newby, NBC Sports. So I was talking to Austin Dillon earlier today, and he said that the thing he's most impressed by with you is that you're not putting yourself in bad situations like other rookie drivers, so you still have an opportunity to go learn instead of just, you know, heading to the infield care center. I'm curious, is that a deliberate thing? Are you seeing these bad situations unfolding and avoiding them?
Yeah, I think it's honestly how my dad raised me to drive, right? Driving open-wheel race cars growing up, midgets and sprint cars, bunch of stuff that, you know, yes, it might have not been apples to apples when you're going trying to be a cup driver, but I learned how to not land on my head as much as most people, and just grew up racing a style of racing where you get together with somebody and you're either flipping or you're 100% wrecked. And I think that my dad always just preached to me to be smart and not just get more than you can't, right? There's a lot of multiple opportunities today to get a lot right now and then put yourself in a position to lose a ton. And I feel like it's nothing that I think about. I don't think about it at all about kind of being conservative. I think in my head, and I'm going 100%, but I think it's just deeply ingrained into my, you know, brain now to where I can kind of see bad events unfolding and not get out of them, but put myself in a spot to where when that does happen, I'm able to get out of it, where I feel like some people could kind of get caught up in that and not have an out.
Okay. And then the other thing is, you told me on Tuesday you were particularly looking forward to Talladega because you'd be strapped to a missile. Obviously that worked out for you. So does that bode well for Dover since that was the other race you mentioned?
Yeah, I think Dover is a place that me and Denny Stockman have been working really hard on. And it's not my best racetrack, but it's probably one of my best racetracks. Place I like to just hammer down and live on the edge, right? So that's a place that I feel like we can have a really good shot to run well at.
All right. Go ahead. We'll continue with questions.
Tracy France, excuse me, Tab Media. I heard you mention God several times tonight, and I was just curious about how your faith affects your racing in the past, how it has to this point, and then how it will in the future.
Yeah, I'd say I got away from God too far about, not this time last year, but the year before that until this time last year. And I was just super focused on, you know, winning races, and that was all I was focused on. I think when you're doing that, you're racing to not fail, and you're not racing to win. You're racing to not mess up because you're always focused about yourself. But, you know, I met this kid, Brent Cruz, who most people know, and I was able to get a lot closer to God through him and his family, and that has probably saved my career in the sense that I was able to change my mindset a lot. And it's great to win. It feels phenomenal, but that's not what I'm like shooting for every weekend. Just trying to do the best job that I can. And if I win or I lose, that's not what defines me, right? Like, I try to be a man of God before I am a race car driver or a winner or a loser or everything in between. And I try to spread that message because of what it's done for me in my life and what Brent and his family have done for me. That's helped me, I think, help other people that were in similar spots to me.
All right, additional questions? All right, we're going to go to Chris and then Lee. Chris up front here.
Chris Knight, CatchFans.com. Congratulations on the win. Jesse, right after you took the checkered flag, I heard you scream something about, we're in the playoffs, baby. You know, you were really excited about being in the playoffs. So I was surprised how quickly you mentioned the playoffs.
I've been thinking about it for a while, my friend. Yeah.
Since when, Daytona?
Yes.
Okay. So now that you're, you know, have a shot at in the playoffs, how do you feel about how do you approach this race in the fall? And what do you do the rest of the season? Does that change your mind game going into these other races?
Yeah, I think as I take a step back and look at it, I keep the Speedway stuff, what I'm doing, the same. Don't change anything. But for my, you know, regular race tracks, I can just kind of go for broke more often, run a little bit harder in practice, run a little bit harder in qualifying, just run harder in the race and take more chances. Now that I know if I wreck out, who cares? Like, I was going for the win. And now I just try to, you know, rack up as many wins as I can and win as many stages as I can so I can start those playoffs with a big, you know, group of points. So that's what I'm focused on now. I'm still focused on the playoffs because I want to go win stages and races to get those points. At the same time, I can, you know, loosen up a little bit, not drive as tense, and not be just trying to, you know, dog out these, you know, top 10 finishes. I can kind of, you know, go for broke and end up first or end up 15th, right? I can kind of just go for it more. And I think I live a little bit better in that mindset. Once I knew I pretty much had the ARCA championship locked up last year, kind of just loosened up a little bit and started winning a lot more races. So that's what I intend on kind of keeping going the next few months. Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to go to Lee. I'm right here on the far side. Thank you.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio, and CatchFence.com. You brought an old man to tears because Stockman said that he was bawling after he won that race. I mean, to think of what your career might have been like or what this year might have looked like had Danny not come back to RCR, can you even fathom that?
No, not really. I mean, me and Danny are two very similar people, which doesn't always work out, but in this case, I feel like it is. We're two just really emotional people that wear our emotions on our sleeves, even though I don't always show it. And we're very genuine. We're, you know, we're going to piss people off sometimes because we are genuine about who we are. But at the same time, we know we're always doing right by ourselves. So I think when you have two people that are like that, and we've been working towards one goal, and every day since I signed my contract and knew that he was me the crew chief last year, I've talked to him, whether it be something personal or whether it be something about Sim later this afternoon, right? It's always talking about something, and I love the guy now. I don't say it about many people, but I love him. And he's been a great mentor to me, and I've put a lot of trust into him.
And just curious, you said in overtime, damn, I'm having flashbacks now. Were you referring to Atlanta?
Absolutely.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
All right, any final questions for Jesse? Okay. We'll go to Bob.
Bob Packers, Fox Sports. I know you were talking about how, you know, maybe some of the cars weren't the strongest that were up there with you at the end, but does it mean anything different or more the fact that you didn't have a teammate up there really? And, you know, it wasn't like Austin Hill was there and pushed you to a win.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I definitely felt like after I lost the track position, there were sometimes I was like, all right, let's go, Austin. Shuck this guy out, move this guy out of the way or something. And I kind of went down and put myself in some situations, and I kind of did it by myself at the end, and him and the 48 were really fast up top, and that was really hard to pull the line forward. And obviously me and those group of three guys, four guys that were on the bottom, were doing all we could, but it's hard. Like, those ECR engines are very, very fast, and sorry, those Jayborn Chevrolets. So towards the end there, kind of figured something was going to happen blocking-wise, and figured if I could be on the bottom, I had an out being on the inside to get to the apron. And literally right as I thought of that, I think there was a late block somewhere with the five or something. I'm not sure who it was. And I was able to get to the apron and barely miss it. And then after that, I knew that, you know, not having Austin there or the 48, I think, I knew I was kind of a little bit vulnerable because a lot of people don't want the RCR cars to win the speedways because of how dominant we are here. But I felt like if I could just be like the fly at the picnic that never goes away, that I would be in a good spot eventually. Well, I was like, man, he's doing a really good job keeping me connected. And then eventually I was like, I'm just running in the back of him. And then I finally was like, you idiot, he's running out of fuel. So I pulled off to the left and got around him. But it took me like literally probably 300 feet to realize he was running out. I thought I just had a great start. But that was almost very bad. He did a good job, you know, keeping it straight. But that was unfortunate because I thought they did a really good job and brought a good car this weekend too.
All right. John, do you have a question? Okay, no problem. We'll wrap with you. Go ahead.
Just a quick fun one for you. Now that you have a chance to celebrate, I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to blast Rush on the way home? You know, something special planned?
I don't know what I'm allowed to say or what I'm not allowed to say. I'm going to just go home, hang out with my dog, invite my friends over for some poker. My PR reps give me thumbs up. I'll keep going until I get a thumbs down. Have a late day tomorrow. I got my family here. Cook some steaks. And that's it. What? Has he? Oh, he's my roommate for, yeah. I got to see him tonight. That's wonderful.
All right, Jesse. Well, congratulations on that win, and we wish you the best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.